sports talk show host. He's been there for a long time. Greg Gaston on the line with us. Greg, thanks for taking the time to come on.
Gentlemen, it's my pleasure, and don't sell yourselves short. You're both remembered very vividly and very well for what you did here in Memphis all those years ago. We can't forget, guys. Come on.
34 years ago, to be exact.
Well, that was for George, Greg.
I've been in Memphis now 26 years. It's hard to believe. It seems like I just arrived, and I'm going on almost three decades.
Now, you're a Maryland guy originally, aren't you?
I'm originally from New Jersey, but I went to school at Maryland and started television in Maryland in 85 and then came to Memphis in 95. So, yeah, I decided to make my home in the Mid-South, and I've become a Southerner from once a Northerner and completely changed my whole way of life, slowed down version. I'm a lot nicer, and I feel pretty good about it.
So in your talk show life, you all talk about this a ton, the fact that Memphis – is kind of treated like a bastard stepchild that nobody seems to want. It's unfair, and how frustrated are the fans that this seemingly has been the case?
Well, it's extremely frustrating. It's disappointing. They don't know what else can be done. The school feels right now they're in the best position they can be in. You hope they're not an eternal bridesmaid. It just feels that way. You have similar schools, and you guys would know this, in years ago when you looked at Louisville, Memphis, and Cincinnati, they were all basically on the same level, and it was all about opportunity. Louisville got the opportunity, and Cincinnati got the opportunity. Now we'll get another opportunity as they will move into the Big 12, and Memphis has just never been given that opportunity, and most people feel that if they were, especially years ago, and maybe even in the SEC many years ago, where Memphis could be, being the metropolitan city that it is. So it is absolutely frustrating because, again, you hear reasons why Laird Veach, the AD for University of Memphis, has been on my radio show. He's talked about some of the reasons. Dr. Rudd, the president of the University of Memphis. But really when it comes down to it, I think a lot of it still remains the perception of the city. People believe on the outside looking in who don't know a lot about the city that it's poverty-stricken and crime-stricken. And, yes, we have that, but so does Nashville, so does Cincinnati, so does Orlando, so does Houston. I think there's a lot of great things. Look, I had chances to leave this community, and I didn't. I wanted to stay here because the people are great. Like I said, I believe the football program is in the best position it's ever been. Basketball certainly is going to be strong most of the time. And academically, it's getting much, much better. They're looking to add to the campus. They're talking about the renovations at Liberty Bowl Stadium. There's going to be a campaign to help the additions to the Park Avenue campus is where the football facility is. They've added the indoor facility there. The basketball facility is second to none in the country. So, yes, when you hear all of that and you see all of that, you can understand the frustration of the fans for all these years.
So, Greg, do they believe there is a school or pack of schools that are screwing them over?
No, not specifically. I haven't heard anything specifically about that. But I know that the conversations took place, and you got to remember, Laird Veach has a background with the Big 12. He's been at three different institutions, so he certainly has connections. A relationship with Dr. Rudd and Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12. I don't know if there is a school per se. I think the first time that the conversation of realignment came up not too many years ago and the Big 12 was talking about adding and they ended up not adding, Memphis was in great position from everything I heard and had the backing of the president of the University of Oklahoma. So they looked like they were in pretty good shape, and then all of a sudden it didn't happen and there was no expansion altogether. But I don't think there's any school, at least that I know of, or schools specifically that are trying to keep Memphis.
Watson, give Greg Gaston a couple of questions on your end.
Greg, are you still hearing there is another wave of another couple of schools going to the Big 12? I keep hearing that. Is that hot or is that just smoke?
It's. I think they're cautious. Fans are cautious. They're hearing that, Watson. There's no question about it, but it's one of those deals where you know, the boy who cried wolf. You don't want to get too excited about it. But I think there's the possibility, as you guys have, we have on our show national broadcasters, national journalists, and a lot of them say that they believe, because of the future of television contracts with the Big 12, whether it be with ESPN or with Fox, that once they get to 14, and look, we know that Oklahoma and Texas may be in the SEC next year, but if we go by what's on paper, Oklahoma and Texas would be there through 2025, BYU would join in 23, and then in 24, you would have the addition of the other three American Conference teams, which means in 2024, you would have the 14 teams. Once Oklahoma and Texas leaves, again, I'm only going what's on paper, they would leave in 2025, that would drop you down to 12. There are a lot of people that believe that 14 is the right number. I don't know why, but they continue to say this in stories, and therefore they believe that Memphis has a great opportunity to be one of those two schools. Boise State's name is mentioned a lot as well. So, yeah, there's hope, but I don't think people are going overboard to believe anything right now.
Greg, I was the AD at UAB when the conference right. first split, and Louisville and Cincinnati and Houston and TCU, all of that bunch left, and the only one that I never understood was Memphis, how they got left out the first go-around, because there wasn't anything those schools had that Memphis didn't have, Greg, in those days. And I think that move is the one that's held them back the biggest through all of this time. We regrouped and put a lot of new schools in Conference USA at that point, and Memphis was mm-hmm. still there with us. But I never understood that, why they were the one left out. The Cincinnati's facilities at that point now were not very good at all. TCU's facilities were just okay. They had an old stadium when we go to play them. So Houston, I didn't see why they were left out. Still to this day, do not understand that.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's what I mentioned earlier. We were kind of on that same level playing field with a number of schools, including Louisville and Cincinnati. Great history between Memphis and those two schools in all sports. And that's one that's a head-scratcher, as a lot of people still wonder why that never happened. I look, how many factors are involved? There's a lot of factors, from where your school is academically to your alumni base, your enrollment, your market size. In this latest go-around, they took three schools from the American Conference that are all larger market size than Memphis. Not that Memphis is a small market size. But I've always said, given the opportunity, what Memphis could have done being in a Power 5 conference. There's so much talent, as you all of you know, especially you, Watson, know about the talent that comes out of Memphis, with many of those kids in years past going to SEC schools. At least now, over the last 7 or 8 years, this football program has proven what they are capable of doing. They've put guys in the NFL, and it shows what they can do with the right coaches. They've had a great run of that. But that's the issue as well, is back then, in that first go-around, the Memphis football program wasn't as strong. And now it looks like it's a much stronger program. But do the people believe that perceptionally from around the country, especially in the Big 12, on the outside looking in?
I'll give it to Lee and just make one more comment. Greg, to me, I was there coaching against Tommy West, and there were some good teams Tommy had, and there were some fantastic crowds in some of the days we'd go there. So I don't know that was good enough, and I'm in Memphis's corner. I've always felt, give them a shot and they're going to leap, and they'll run with it and make big improvements all the way around in their program. So I've got my fingers crossed that it's going to happen. Lee, what you
well,
got?
Well, thank you, Watson, for the city. I mean, it doesn't benefit me other than being a broadcaster in this market. But here's the one thing about, first of all, I love Tommy. I've always loved Tommy West, and he did have some great teams when they were able to bring in D'Angelo Williams and Danny Wimbrine at quarterback, and they had a great run. But it had been a long time since they had been to a bowl game. But you probably remember the famous speech that Tommy made after he was being let go about putting money into the facilities. If you do so, if you put money into the football program, they have a chance to do well. And look what's happened with the money they put into the program. Now, another issue could be the lack of the on-campus stadium. They still play in the large Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium. You know, maybe. I don't think that's a major factor. It's certainly a factor. And the president of the school, Dr. Rudd, who's basically in his lame duck year, he's been fantastic. He's talked about maybe looking back at that issue, which has always come up and then has disappeared, the on-campus or at least close-to-campus stadium. But again, the Tommy West years, there were some really good years. It's just when Tommy goes out and says what he says, you know you're not in a good position from a program standpoint. And it's football, as you guys know, that stirs the drink. Now I feel they are in the best position they've ever been in football.
Lee, take it away.
Yeah, I agree with you, Greg. I was there 16 years, 8 as a coach and then 8 as an administrator. And even back in the early 90s, we were talking about building an on-campus facility. And I know 3 or 4 of those teams they took in have built on-campus facilities. Mm-hmm. You look at that and you think that may be important, but I just feel like having gone through expansion in the ACC, it's really who's up next. It's kind of like the Watson and the football coaches talk about somebody gets hurt and who's next, and that's what happens. Texas, Oklahoma leave, who's next? And so I feel like they're in good position. I think Larry knows what he's doing. And, you know, FedEx is involved. I think that helped them. I think it almost got them in a couple of years ago when you have somebody national like that. So I really feel like that what you've said is right on, and I think Memphis deserves it. And Memphis, like Watson said, will be a great addition to any conference, and hopefully that happens to them. Now, one question I've got for you, now you do sideline reporting now.
I do sidelines for football, yes.
Yes. And what do you feel like? I don't think majority of the people in the country know how good their football's been, but hadn't their football in the last 10 years won 7 or 8 games or more each year?
Yeah, they have had a string of really good years, starting with Justin Fuente when he arrived the first year. He was not able to get his own guys in right away, so it was after the tough, rough 2 years of Larry Porter as head coach, who was a former Tiger great. It just didn't work out as a head coach. And then Justin comes in, and then in his second year, he's winning big, and they're able to bring in a guy like Paxton Lynch, who was not a heralded quarterback out of Florida, and he goes up and puts together numbers that got him a first-round selection in the NFL draft by the Broncos. You follow that up when he leaves for Virginia Tech with Mike Norvell. Of course, Mike Norvell now at Florida State. And then you stay within the family of Mike Norvell's staff, and you hire Ryan Silverfield, who's got some NFL experience with the Vikings, and he's picked up where they left off. Last year was his first full year. They won 8 games. They've been to the Cotton Bowl in the last few years. They're producing NFL players. There's 4 or 5 running backs in the league that have played for Memphis over the last 5 years. So, yes, it's certainly moving in the right trajectory. The fan base is strong. It could be stronger. I don't think that would hurt if it became stronger. Basketball is still tough to knock off the mountain right here in Memphis. As you guys probably know, basketball is still king. But football is extremely important, and the way the Tigers have been playing over the last 7, 8 years has the attention of everybody here in this city.
Greg, thank you for taking the time. Tell Woloshin I said hello.
I will absolutely do that. I'll see him, of course, for the broadcast on Saturday. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for coming on. Greg Gaston's been in Memphis.